Welcome to Accelerate Your Business Growth,
where we're exploring all sorts of business topics. Experts from around the world join me, your host, Diane Helbig, for a conversation where they share their expertise with all of you. Take what you need when you need it. Featured on Inc.com, Forbes, and MSNBC's Your Business, this podcast is recognized as one of the best podcasts for small business, sales, leadership, social media, and more. When it comes to business, Accelerate Your Business Growth has got it covered. And now on with the show. My guest today is Marcia Reiner. Marcia is the CEO of Infinite Profit Consulting, a speaker, author, podcast host, and powerful visionary. Business owners come to her when they are looking to dramatically increase their revenue, take home more profit, and grow the value of their business. She has proven growth and revenue strategies with step-by-step success models that she guides her clients through to get results fast. She's also the author of a couple of books, but the most recent one is Boosting Business Profit. Thanks so much for joining me today, Marcia.
All right. Thanks so much for having me. This is fun. I love being on this side of the microphone.
It's always fun to be the guest when you're usually right. Right? I know. I go through the same thing. So we're going to be talking about profit, which is one of my favorite subjects. And I want to start with asking you to explain to the listeners why they should be focusing on profit and not just revenue.
The million-dollar question, right? Mm-hmm. Because, you know, many business owners, they don't look at their financials in the right order. They're looking at, well, look, I've got all this revenue coming in, but then they've got all these expenses going out the other end. And then they're wondering why they can't do what they want, invest in the opportunities that come their way, and, you know, have the lifestyle that they want. So really, truly, profit makes the world go around. And it's not what you earn, it's what you take home.
Yes.
So I think that's why the profit is so darn important, and why they need to look at that more. I mean, come on, you gotta have the stuff. You can't spend revenue, you can spend profit.
Right. It's so true. I say it all the time that it's great to have money coming in, but if the business that you're engaging in is costing you more than you're billing, you're not going to last very long.
No. And, you know, the funny thing about it is our financial experts, we'll call them the accounting teams, whichever license they tend to be under, they're always looking at ways to roll money through the business, right? How do we reduce taxes? How do we depreciate everything that we can depreciate on it? And I think that there's three ways that, you know, you can look at your financials, business owners, if you're looking at your financials, right? But if you're looking at your financials, there's three ways you can look at it. You can look at it as the good, the bad, and the ugly. The good is the way your financials look when you're trying to bring on an investor, get some financing, sell your business. You want those books to look really good. Well, then you've got the ugly or the bad. The bad is what, you know, you want your books to look like when you're showing them to the IRS, right? I don't want to pay any more taxes than I have to. So right. I'm going to depreciate everything. I'm going to run my lifestyle through my business. I'm going to hire my kids. I'm going to run my wife's or spouse's stuff through. You know, it just makes it look like you're not making much money, so you don't have to pay much taxes.
Right.
And then the ugly is your general ledger. That's everything that comes in and everything that goes out. They're the same books. But we have a viewpoint that we as business owners always seem to focus on, which is the bad. And if you look at it from the good side, then you're going to see how really, truly your company can be more profitable. And that's why I kind of say that, you know, we need to focus on what we're taking home.
Yep.
Yeah, I'm so glad that you broke it down that way, because it's so true that I could feel that was really resonating with me. So what are some of the oftentimes overlooked profit killers?
That's kind of the stuff that, lifestyle spending, we wanted to buy a boat. So we run it through our business. Our business buys the boat. Wrong. We're at the end of the year and we don't want to pay taxes. So we buy a truck. Why? It's just unnecessary spending that occurs is probably the biggest killer. The other one, I could probably go through a dozen of them, but I think the real important ones is the lifestyle spending is really, truly a killer in it. But I think not understanding what levers to pull to increase the revenue. Because if you think about it, now this is, I tried to trademark it, but I got blocked. I'm not sure why. So here's my equation, right?
Okay.
Profit is revenue minus expenses, or revenue minus expenses equals profit. Why wouldn't I trademark that? I'm just kidding. but it is truly, looking at things that, you can pull levers on. So what levers can we pull on the revenue side? What levers can we pull on the expenses side to make that profit number look better? And I think a lot of people forget that it's not just the leads. It's the way the conversion percentage that you're actually getting to close a deal. And maybe we're looking at not just new clients, but we're looking at existing clients. How do we keep them? So, there's so many different, I like to say levers we can pull to tweak the numbers and to look at our business from different angles to be able to increase that profit number.
Okay.
I could talk for days on this stuff. Sorry.
No, it's really good. And I think you are really speaking to what so many business owners are doing, because they're not really paying attention to this is a business. And if I only think about the business income and the business expenses, then I'm going to focus on making sure that I have enough revenue so that I can invest in the things I need to invest in for the business.
Right.
Right.
Because there's going to be opportunities that come your way. And if you don't have the cash flow.
Yeah.
So say you make a widget and, this matters both for services and product companies.
Sure.
But say you make a widget and there's an opportunity, one of your vendors, it just got a huge shipment. They lost a deal. Now they come to you and go, oh, do you want to buy supplies that makes your widget? And if you don't have the cash flow ready to write a check, then how are you going to take advantage of 40% off what you would normally do, which would and affect your cost of goods sold? So, looking at opportunities, whether it's hiring or building out or spending money on marketing or investing in new employees, all that takes cash flow. And if you can't make your business cash flow properly and have enough of that money coming in, in that bucket, right? Then you can't take advantage of opportunities.
Right. Right. Okay. But so let's talk about a thought that comes to my mind is, are companies pricing their product or service accurately, or maybe I want to say adequately?
Yeah.
How do they know that they're not undervaluing their product or service to begin with? Let's start there.
Well, that's a supply and demand economics equation, right? If you go back to school and you think about, competition and what the consumer is willing to pay for something. But there's a flip side to that. We're kind of in this race to the bottom right now, right? Who can have the lowest price?
Right.
Well, we can't compete with Amazon or Walmart, or if we're in the services, there's always someone that will undercut you. So if you're racing to the bottom, you're in a losing race.
Yeah.
So I always like to say, and I think I, you know, there's been great minds that have brought this up before, but if you can't be the lowest, then why not be the highest? And if you're the highest, how do you value your offer
right
to the client where they think it's on sale? Right? You are meeting an important need. You are adding tremendous value, and you're making it super easy for your buyer to say, yeah. And if you do that, that combination, then it doesn't matter what price you're selling it at. It doesn't matter whether your competition is trying to undercut you. Your buyer is coming to you because you solve a problem. You've added tremendous value and you've made it super easy to buy. They're like, okay, I'm going to stay with them. And here's a perfect example. Excuse me. It's really windy here, so my throat is dry. There's all sorts of pollens blown around, but, so here's a perfect example. Okay. So a restaurant, they bring in someone, to eat, and you say, well, you can get a free appetizer. Or you can get a bottle of wine for free, you know, as part of the meal package, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so the customer thinks they're getting a $10 dessert for free or a $40 bottle of wine for free. But really, truly, the restaurant has increased the price to cover the cost of the wine or dessert, which a cost of a dessert could be a dollar.
Right.
A bottle of wine, we all know, even if you buy it at a restaurant, it's $40. You could buy it at the grocery store for $10, and it probably costs them $3.
Right.
So there's ways to add value that the customer perceives as value. And then the sky's the limit on the price. I hope that answered your question in
it
kind
does.
Of a roundabout way.
Oh, no, and I'm so grateful for the example because it brings it home. You know, it helps us see it. And I think what people have to really focus on is the value of their product or service, not the price, because then everyone is price shopping.
Exactly. And if you're competing on price, you'll always lose.
Yeah.
But if you're competing on value, and the value is not just a lot of stuff. You know, you see these offers out there where, oh, you're getting $30,000 worth of, you know, services, and I'm going to charge you a $197 for this package, right? Which is a bunch of BS. But I think it's not just a bunch of stuff, but what does your ideal customer perceive as value?
Right.
What would be the next logical thing they need, or the next logical problem that gets solved by adding that value to it?
Right. Right. Got to be about, it's needs based. It's got to be about the problem that it solves, and realizing that you're still not going to do business with everyone, and that's okay. You're really looking for those customers and those clients who see that value and need that thing with all those things attached.
So now these are just many levers you can pull that can increase your revenue or reduce your costs that will ultimately net out to that profitability. And I think, like we talked about in the beginning, if we're just looking at one thing and thinking, okay, here's the ultimate solution. Well, it's not. It's a cocktail or combination or recipe, you know, that is mixed together to make it improve.
Right.
And I want your listeners to understand these aren't significant changes. These are incremental changes. That little changes here and little changes there and little changes there can effectively produce a big result.
Yeah, right. That makes sense. Okay. Let's talk a little bit about marketing, because I think some people might be listening and thinking, okay, that's great. And I can figure all that stuff out, but I'm still going to have to spend a lot of money on marketing in order to be able to pull in those clients. Do you think that's true or not?
Well, you have to market. Otherwise, you don't get opportunities to talk to people to be able to close the sale. So you have to market. Now, can we have more effective marketing where the ad dollars or the marketing money you spend has greater impact? Yes. And I think that's the misnomer. So we all know right now, or any business owner that's doing any kind of marketing should realize from their marketing team that ad spend has tripled over the last year. Yeah. So that means the $100 you spent at Google will now produce one third of the results, or you have to spend $300 to get that same spend, to that same results.
Right.
So now that ad spend is very expensive, what could you do to improve the results that you get? And that's another lever that we pull. And I think that when you look at what you're saying, who you're saying it to, and the problem, as you mentioned, needs-based, that your customer is facing, you know, there's probably 10 different things that we can adjust just under that line that would improve the marketing. And I'm not even the person that runs the ads. I'm just trying to get your situation to be improved better. So that when you do run those ads, or you do make a post, or you do have a billboard, it gets better impact. And it's so funny. I've been driving around. I'm in Las Vegas now. I've been driving around lately. And first of all, every single billboard is about an attorney, and most of them are personal injury attorneys. Can't imagine why. So there's this one lady out there, and the billboard has her beautiful face. She's a very pretty woman. And then it just says her law firm name. And I'm thinking to myself, that is the biggest waste of money ever. And she's got a half a dozen of the billboards around town.
Wow.
And I keep thinking to myself, I got to call her and tell her she's got to do something different, right? Because first of all, you don't even know what kind of law she practices. And you just know she's pretty in her name. So how would you know if you're coming to her because you got hit in a car accident, or you're filing a bankruptcy, or you just got a DUI, or you're trying to get your business set up?
Yeah.
I mean, the law has like a thousand different specialties you can be in. But so having a message that talks to your ideal customer about the problem that they're having, identifies who that ideal customer is. Hey, business owners, are you trying to set up your business? You know, I mean, I think you need to have more specific stuff. And I know that's kind of the going from 0 to 100, or the polar opposites of left and right. But it is really, truly important that when you're advertising or marketing, whether it's verbally, written, social posts, mailers, videos, that you address who your ideal customer is, who you're talking to, and you have to tell them the problem that you're trying to solve for them, and then make it really easy for them to get a solution to that problem. And when you do that, your marketing improves. So you're not spending more, you're just getting more effectiveness to it, if that makes sense.
It makes, excuse me, huge sense. So you have said a couple of times, sort of tongue in cheek, but not really, about if business owners are even paying attention to these things.
They're not. They're running their business, right? They're in their jam. They know exactly what they do, or you know, the way they swing a hammer, or their expertise, whatever they're doing, and they're not thinking about the dozen other things that need to be done to run a business effectively. And if they're a solopreneur, or they're a smaller firm with a couple of people, that business owner's still wearing a lot of hats that they probably, you know, aren't completely focused on.
Okay. See, that was going to be my question. Why aren't they doing that? So
yeah.
Thanks for, okay. But so then what's the suggestion? Is it they should just carve out time once a quarter, once a month? What, you know, how do they make sure that they are paying attention?
Well, you know what? That depends on the position, the cash flow in the company. You know, what are the priorities? You know, if you can imagine wearing, let's just call it 8 or 10 hats, right? Mm-hmm. Okay, I'm accounting, I'm marketing, I'm sales, I'm fulfillment, I'm you know, HR, I'm, you know, chief dishwasher and garbage can cleaner. You know, I mean, how many different things do we have? Plus being creative and leading the company.
Yeah.
So it depends on how many team members they have.
Okay.
You know, are they being efficient and effective in their role? Is the owner, you know, I would assume the owner's not a solopreneur at this point. You know, but it's carving off who needs to own certain positions.
Ah.
And what is it that the business owner, that only that business owner can do, that's what they should be focused on, right? Revenue generating,
yeah,
and expertise alignment. And then farm off the other stuff if you can. If you can't, then you need to farm off time to be able to manage those things or bring on fractionals like myself or, you know, virtual help that could come in, contracted help that could come in and help move those things. Because if you're not doing them, then you're really asking for a lot of trouble, not right. to add, you know, more stress to the business owner, but, you know, there's only so many hours in the day and yeah, you got to sleep.
Well,
yes, you have to sleep. Your body needs to regenerate. I know those folks that are sleeping 4 hours a day and still trying to tell me that they're functioning well is, you know, okay, sure.
Uh-huh. Right. Sure you are. I get it. Oh my gosh. This is really valuable. And I hope people are really hearing this and listening to it because it makes so much sense. And for me, the good news is that it's not more difficult.
Yeah.
It feels somewhat liberating, you know, that it alleviates a lot of the stress.
Well, it's that 80-20 rule, right? What is it? 20% of the focus produces 80% of the revenue.
Right.
So if you align your focus on what you're supposed to be doing and what really moves the needle on your business, then the other stuff can be done in important times. For example, is it more important that you prepare a proposal for an active client, or is it more important that you go in and, you know, do your social media posts for the day or create a new workbook or, mm-hmm. you know, go do something else, right? Versus doing the thing that generates the revenue.
Yep. Doing the thing that generates the revenue.
I know we talked a lot here, huh? We went down some rabbit holes.
They're all good.
They're all great.
Right?
And they're all, like I said, this is not an all-encompassing, oh my God, I've just put 1,000 things on your plate and you're stressing out. It's little incremental changes to improve what you're focusing on and what you're doing so that the lever you pull has impact on the revenue, the expenses leading towards the profit.
Exactly. That's right. Oh my gosh, I love it. Thank you so much, Marcia, for joining me and having this conversation. Will you tell the listeners how they can find you? And I understand you've got a bonus for them.
Yeah. So, because there's so many things that you can do to improve your revenue and so on, I've put together what I call my Profit Booster Playbook. And these are three really valuable strategies, tactics, action items, and, you know, expert advice on how you can pull those levers and really start to see results. So instead of 1,000 things, there's 3 things. And you can go download this free workbook at boostingprofit.com. And I think that the audience will really get it. There's strategic boosters, there's quick wins for cash flow, and then there's growth strategies that really work right now. Because it's funny, 95% of strategies employed by small business owners mirror those of their competition.
Wow.
Yet they often prove ineffective. So just doing what the Joneses are doing and the guy down the street is doing may not be what you should be doing.
Right. Carve your own path.
Right, right. Yeah. So there's that. And then my company is Infinite Profit, and you can find me on any of the socials. The website is infiniteprofitconsulting.com. There's tons of resources on there. My podcast, blogs, you know, just I like to put out content. So there's good stuff out there.
It's wonderful. Oh, well, thank you so much for all of that and this great conversation. And listeners, thank you. You are who we're doing this for.
Thank you for tuning in to this episode of Accelerate Your Business Growth, a production of Evergreen Podcasts. Discover more episodes of this podcast and explore others at evergreenpodcast.com. As always, continue to prosper and be curious. And if you're looking to get your sales strategy headed in the right direction, pick up a copy of Succeed Without Selling on Amazon or wherever books are sold. Until we meet again on another episode of Accelerate Your Business Growth, goodbye and good day.
My name is Cindy Burnett, and each week I interview at least two traditionally published authors on my podcast, Thoughts from a Page. We talk spoiler-free about their books, so you can listen whether you have read the book or not. And then we delve into things that you most likely won't hear about anywhere else. The importance of the cover design, why they included various aspects of the story, personal details about both the books and the authors' lives, and so much more. You can find the podcast on every major platform and learn more about it on my website, thoughtsfromapage.com. Thanks so much for checking it out.